Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Baruch Hashem. Did you have a good session? Good
yes,
holiday?
Yes, that was going to be my question to you. Although I missed us not doing our all night together.
I have such mixed feelings on that.
Hold on, I'm going to put you a little bit louder.
I said I have mixed feelings on not doing the all night. But that was the message I got for this year, and it turned out I studied with people here that I think was beneficial for them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I didn't get started till 2 in the morning because I was going to take my nap like I usually do, and I didn't wake up till 2, but I stayed up from 2 on, and then all day I didn't do anything. Just stayed on my recliner and studied all day. So what I didn't finish during the night session, I just kept on the next day, which was yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
And I was able to share the materials. Several mentioned at Torah study about their streaming programs that, and
good
so
evening,
I told about your site, and I didn't say any more, but one person came up to me after and asked, so I was able to share that with her, so that was good too. So it was good.
That's good. Good evening, Jasmine. I hope you're well.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa. Ana Bekoa, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir Tzera, Alfit Gimel Yutat Tzadi, Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, no ra, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kivada, Shamren, Nun Gimodalit, Yutkashin. Barhem Taharen, Rachame Sidkatha, Tamid Gamlen Betet Resh Tzaditat Gimel Chasim Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushatah Yud Gimelamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tiyakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tariyutah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we are going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. Adonai, Adonai, El Racham Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Viral Chesed Ve'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alapim, Noseyawon Wafesha, Vechata'av Ve'nakei. We'll now connect to the energy of certainty by reading and studying a pasuk from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar by from Parasha Yitro. It's pasuk 29, and I'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkin tebit hilu urkimu urkilu urkilu urkimu. Le'akda l'shem yudhe b'valhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'ayihinu amadonai Elohinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nanei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar b'kama atar tanenan d'kudsha v'richu koma d'aved Ve'ela witata kolaihu kishot v'yovada dikshot v'leit lach mila b'yalma divae barnash v'dach yaleya mineya ulan haga ve'ya kalana tehakulu ovada Dikshot inun wikola itzdirich bi'alma. Now going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, which is bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first one that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishka v'amnon v'ayitcha v'ayavo ha-melech liroto v'ayomer amnon el ha-melech tavo natamar achoti utlabev le'enei Shite Levivo Vievre Miada. The second verse is from Psalms, it's chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of the name are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha wawoni lo kisiti amarti ode ale pashai ladonai yohe wahe viata nasata awon chatati sela. The year 5777 has the energy of the wake-ups, also of the goats. There are again two verses that we study. The first is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyevai hinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we have tzatzki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we have the final letters of these words, we have dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion. The name, the letters of this name are separated in the verse by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, as the energy of the pause that refreshes, there are again two verses in this that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34.
Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit. Et kol ha'olot v'yachaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishre levav v'hitkadesh me ha'kohanim.
This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God.
Adonai Yohewahe Lalahe Wawawa Yola Yowalame Hey 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 Aka Breakaha.
The second verse that connects to this energy is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. The energy is that of the pause.
Bidhu v'adonai yohewahe adead ki b'ya yohe adonai yohewahe sur olamim.
The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is from Job, chapter 7, verse 19.
Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki.
The second verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23.
Uru udu mikol hamachavu iyan asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachum v'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti. O Tob, call of Yehuda.
And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7.
Kegelo lanetsa yoved roav yomru ayo.
The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse in the Tanakh that has this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10.
Wesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam taktaz v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosipu v'nei avla anoto.
We'll now connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. We do this in the manner of saying each letter in sequence using their root vowels.
Wahe wa yo la yo sayote ala me me he shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la awa he he a yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za hey 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la hey sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo hey wa me wa he me wa da nu yo hey hey shi a me me nu nu wa nu yo ta me be hey pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la hey re hey me sa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo da me be me nu to a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. Now we will connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be utaya te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he wa yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za hey she hey me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a la me ta hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey be hey me sa re wa he be yo wa he ala wa me za yo da he be me ka ko ala a he ke wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim that left this day, the eighth day of Sivan, is Rabbi Moshe Blau, Rabbi Yisachar Dov Goldstein, Rabbi Menachem Manish Safran, and Rabbi Zalman Rothberg, Rabbi Moshe Nehemia Ben Rabbi Meshulam Tahana. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is about the writings of the Ari. So you can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom matrix. I believe it's in
Now let me double check, because I think it's 10. It's 10, but I'm not sure. No, it's in row 14, the second column from the left, the teachings of the Ari. When you click on that link, please scroll down to see a link underneath. It says Parashat Pechukotai, and the link under that is Soul Trains, Reincarnation Issues by the Ari. And that is our class for tonight. I think you'll enjoy it. Does anybody have any questions before I start? This is written as a Kabbalistic introduction to the subject of the reincarnation. It's actually writings that he has said that he's written, or that Rabbi Chaim Vital has written from his teachings regarding the Parasha Pechukotai. One of the verses, the early verses in Pechukotai, is as follows. If you will follow my laws and faithfully observe my mitzvot, I will grant your rains in their season, so that the earth shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field their fruit. Sounds like a very simple verse that's promising us a reward for doing the mitzvah. It is fitting that we understand these words, which read as if God is trying to convince and entice the Jewish people, telling them that if they do such and such, they will receive such and such a reward. The tenor of these verses at face value is not that they describe a simple cause and effect relationship, but that God is trying to coax us into observing his mitzvot with the promise of reward. And this is not the way that the Kabbalists teach. They teach there is no reward. There is no punishment. There is only cause and effect. Furthermore, the reward seems to be blessings of material beneficence. And the Kabbalists teach us that the material benefits pale in comparison to the spiritual benefits, and the material benefits are just were there for us to connect to anyway, whether we do the mitzvot or we don't. Although our sages have told us that the true reward for keeping Hashem's mitzvot awaits us in the afterlife, my commentary. Kabbalah teaches that there is no such thing as punishment and reward. This language should not be used. Everything relates to cause and effect. The cause is always spiritual. Performing an action of doing a mitzvah is a physical action, and therefore is an effect. What is the cause of a mitzvah? It is the human desire to be cleansed of impurity. People like that clean feeling. Rain in its season is an effect of the spiritual cause of the desire to be clean. The same analysis applies to the other physical statements in the above Torah verse. Continuing, the explanation from the Ari is that this passage alludes to the concept of transmigration, reincarnation into different worlds by souls. Now, it's kind of a hard leap to make, isn't it? From these physical things to say that this is talking about reincarnation. I made a written comment here. Transmigration is different than reincarnation. This is my opinion. Reincarnation is a spiritual soul taking on a different garment or body. Transmigration is that soul moving between worlds, such as from a human world to a plant or an animal or an inanimate body. As you know, the soul is initially reincarnated into the mineral or vegetable kingdoms, and afterwards ascends into the animal kingdom, for example, cattle. If it merits further, it ascends to the kingdom of man. Transmigration is the means by which the soul atones for the sins it committed in its first human lifetime, or after many lifetimes, in its last lifetime. Not last as in complete, but last in the series of lifetimes. In the words of the Arizal, there is almost no person on earth that is spared such transmigration. The wicked after their death enter purgatory, which is Gehinnom, which is the Hebrew word for hell, and receive their punishment and atonement there. Their judgment there lasts 12 months. And I am adding, Kabbalah teaches everyone goes to Gehinnom, including the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim go for an instant to elevate those souls who have completed their cleansing, since there is no other exit except by being connected to the light of a Tzaddik. Although the Arizal uses the term punishment, it is important to remember that the suffering of the soul endures in Gehinnom, and in being reincarnated is meant to scour or purify it from the spiritual filth that it accrued during its lifetime by transgressing the mitzvot of the Torah. This purification process enables it to progress afterwards to higher levels of afterlife. Thus, the punishment is an expression of God's mercy, an opportunity for the soul to rid itself of the existential incrustations of sin that prevents it from experiencing the higher levels of spirituality that await it in reward for the good it performed during its lifetime. The suffering of the soul in Gehinnom can be alleviated by someone saying Kaddish for that soul. This is why the custom is to say Kaddish for only 11 months after the person's death. Saying Kaddish the full 12 months would imply that the individual was completely wicked and requires the full term of purification in Gehinnom. My commentary. Kaddish is a prayer in Aramaic that the rabbis say requires a minyan to pray. The prayer praises the goodness of Hashem. There is a leniency used by some that allows one to say a similar prayer without a minyan. If one would like a copy of this, please request it from myself by email to Yeshem at Hotmail. To certain wicked people, however, is applied the verse, "He will fling away the lives of your enemies in the hollow of the sling." They do not merit entering purgatory immediately after their death in order to be cleansed of their sin. Rather, their soul descends from level to level through various incarnations until their sins have been scoured away sufficiently so that they may then enter purgatory or hell for 12 months and attain full atonement. This is a commentary, but I'm sure you're going to find that paragraph really eye-opening. To think that someone has so much physicality attached to them, to their soul, when they leave this life, that they can't even go to hell to be cleansed. The punishment of the hollow of the sling, also known as kaf hakelah, the beating in the grave, is here defined as reincarnation. In the book Hayom Yom from the Chabad organization, it is taught that the way a person can avoid this experience is that by, while alive, spending as much of the day as possible in reciting passages from the Mishnah or the Tanya or the Zohar or by the Psalms that they have memorized and keep repeating those verses over and over. I am adding that I would recommend that one memorize your personal energy verses from the Psalms themselves. Not everyone has a verse that is from the Psalms, but many people have multiple verses from the Psalms connected to the energy of their name. There is no set time for these cases, for sometimes a soul can progress through its incarnations in 20 years, or 100, or 1,000, all depending upon the seriousness of the sins that it committed in this world. In contrast, the fire of purgatory does not singe the souls of the righteous and the Torah scholars. Therefore, they must be reincarnated into this world in order to scour them from whatever sins they may have done. For there is no one that has not committed some sin. Thus, for the righteous, reincarnation is the lighter purification process, after which they enter the world that is coming directly. For the wicked, however, reincarnation entails more suffering, and only after finishing the reincarnation process can they proceed to Gehinnom. When a righteous person dies, he is thus ready to ascend the ladder of sublime levels of paradise. This, however, does not happen all at once. Rather, immediately after his death, he is subjected to suffering in order to cleanse him of his more serious sins. Only after this is he brought into his first level of paradise. When his turn comes to ascend in order to cleanse him of his more subtle sins, he can then enter the second, higher level of paradise. After this, he is again subjected to suffering in order to cleanse him of the sin of transgressing the minor details of mitzvah performance. Then he is ushered into the fitting place in paradise. Is there a question?
Come on, let me ask you.
First one. Benson.
Let me ask you. I won't melt it. Nana, please talk to Pascal.
If you're talking to the conference call, you're not being clear. If you're talking in background, please mute your phone. I'm continuing to read. Rabbi Chaim Vital, who is writing these teachings of his master, the Arizal, now relates the following incident. It happened a few times that I was walking in the field with my teacher, may his memory be for a blessing, and he said to me, behold, there was a certain person named so-and-so who was a tzaddik and a Torah scholar, but because he committed such and such a sin during his lifetime, he is now incarnated into this stone or this plant or other physical items. My teacher of blessed memory never knew these people. We, his students, would investigate the history of these departed souls, and we invariably found the facts to be in accordance with his words. I am not going to go into this at length because I could never recount all the times this happened. Other times he would gaze at a grave 500 cubits away amongst 20,000 other graves, and he would see the soul of the person buried there standing on the grave. He would tell us that so-and-so is buried in that grave, and he is undergoing such and such a punishment for having committed such and such a sin. We would inquire after this person and always find it to be as my teacher said. We were witness to many amazing things like this. To return to our discussion, after an individual dies, he is repaid for his sins in various forms of reincarnation before he enters purgatory. That is, he can be reincarnated into an inanimate object, or a plant, or an animal, or in a person. Almost no one can avoid being reincarnated, since a soul cannot experience the suffering required to cleanse him of the effects of his sins, unless he has become rematerialized in a soul-body combination. Only then, having been reincarnated, can he suffer and feel the pain and thus achieve atonement. I am adding the question, is pain necessary? Rabbi Ashlag teaches there are two paths to complete a soul's tikkun. One path is pain and suffering. The other is the path of Torah. These two path systems are true in the physical world, but they're also true in the spiritual levels. The degree and extent of the reincarnation into which kingdom he is reincarnated is a function of the seriousness of his sins. This is why there are even some tzaddikim and Torah scholars that undergo reincarnation, as we have said, on account of some sin that they stumbled over during their lifetimes. We have explained elsewhere that all the worlds were created from the ruins of the seven primordial kings that ruled in the land of Edom and then died, which is essentially the world of Tohu that collapsed. The purest remains of this world were absorbed into the world of Atzilut. What was too coarse to be absorbed into Atzilut was absorbed into the world of Briah. Then Yetzirah, and finally Asiya. The purest elements then descended to Asiya, were absorbed into the human kingdom, followed by the animal kingdom, then the vegetable kingdom, and finally the inanimate or mineral kingdom. A righteous person, through his deeds and mitzvot that he performs through eating and such, has the power to elevate the sparks of holiness in the mineral kingdom to the level of the vegetable kingdom, and then to the level of the animal kingdom, and finally to the level of the human kingdom. The wicked person, in contrast, through his deeds, causes the exact opposite to happen. He causes the sparks of holiness to descend. Some sins cause the sparks of holiness in a man to descend to the level of the inanimate kingdom, others to the level of the vegetable kingdom or the animal kingdom. Therefore, in correspondence to their sins, some wicked people after their death are reincarnated into a stone, while others are reincarnated into vegetables or animals. When a person commits a sin, he is betraying the divine within him. He is not acting like a human being, who is meant to rule over creation and elevate it to divinity. Rather, he is stooping to the level of the object he is committing the sin with, and at least for the duration of the sin, subjecting himself to its rule over him. For example, let's say a person has a sensual urge to eat chocolate cake. It is not Shabbat or any other occasion in whose honor he can justify eating the cake. And if he has already eaten his meal, so he cannot justify the indulgence with claims of real hunger. No, the sole motivation for this piece of cake is pure, unadulterated, sensual indulgence. I am adding, unadulterated sensual indulgence is a genteel phrase for desire to receive for oneself alone, or outright selfishness. Furthermore, this is glatt kosher cake, and eating it entails no transgression of waiting between meat and dairy foods. So the indulgence is not a sin per se, but just an indulgence. If the person succumbs to his urge and eats the cake, he is demonstrating that at that moment, at least, he is subservient to the power the cake has over him. He has taken his divine spark, animating him at that moment, and brought it down to the level of the cake. He becomes, in effect, not a human person, but a cake person. Moreover, he has, to a certain extent, brought the whole level of creation down to this level. So long as this cakeness and cake identity remains with him, this individual cannot expect to be admitted to the chambers of paradise, where the delights of this world are insignificant and the soul basks in the glow of the divine presence. He has, on the contrary, demonstrated that he is into much coarser delights. He must therefore be cleansed of this cake mentality. This is accomplished by being reincarnated into the vegetable kingdom, where he can experience the pain of his soul, which is used to the freedom of expression and movement of a human being. Being trapped in vegetable identity, in other words, he must experience the same descent he put his soul and the world through when he ate the cake. Those who undergo these reincarnations remain there for a fixed amount of time until the sin that caused them to be incarnated into the vegetable kingdom is expunged. When this time is over, they ascend into the animal kingdom. When this time is over, they ascend into the human kingdom. To the return to the verse from the Torah with which we began the discussion. Thus the Torah says, if you will follow my laws and faithfully observe my mitzvot, I will grant your rains in their season, so that the earth shall yield its produce and the trees of the field their fruit. You will eat and be satisfied, and the souls that are present within the food will ascend to your level. The ascent of the souls incarnated in the food a person eats is subject to him following God's laws and faithfully observing the mitzvot. That is, he must preserve his level of holiness while engaged in eating. Otherwise, as we said, he does not elevate the divine sparks or the souls within the food, but falls to its level. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, and you shall eat your bread to satiation and dwell securely in your land. Now, the soul reincarnated in the lower forms of life do not ascend at all times. Rather, there is a proper time for each ascent to occur. Specifically, someone who has been reincarnated into the mineral kingdom only ascends into the vegetable kingdom during the 4 months of Av, Elul, Tishrei, and Cheshvan. Someone who has been reincarnated into the vegetable kingdom only ascends into the animal kingdom during the 4 months of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz. I am adding, the ascent to the human or the speaking level takes place only in the months of Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, and Adar. My commentary. These three sets of months are following the three columns of the Tree of Life. In my opinion, it is important to remember these relationships, as it will help one to recognize what is the effect of various negative actions in the frame of reincarnation. This is the end of our handout, the end of our class for tonight. Does anyone have any questions? I hope you enjoyed this material as much as I did when I first read it. To all of you, have a beautiful evening. Tomorrow we will have our deep Zohar class on the Parasha of Noah. at 4:30 West Coast time. And at 7 o'clock, we will have our Tikkuni Zohar class as we are now returning to our regular schedule. Shalom to everyone. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good to be back.
It is good to be back to the normal schedule, I agree.
Yes. Thank you.
Shalom to all.